This morning it will be from Psalm 48. Psalm 48. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion. On the sides of the north, the city of the great king. God is known in her palaces for a refuge. For lo, the kings were assembled, they passed by together. They saw it, and so they marveled. They were troubled and hasted away. Fear took hold upon them there, and pain as of a woman in travail. Thou breakest the ships of Tarshish with an east wind. As we have heard, so have we seen in the city of the Lord of hosts, in the city of our God. God will establish it forever, Selah. We have thought of thy loving kindness, O God, in the midst of thy temple. According to thy name, O God, so is thy praise unto the ends of the earth. Thy right hand is full of righteousness. Let Mount Zion rejoice. Let the daughters of Judah be glad because of thy judgments. Walk about Zion and go round about her. Tell the towers thereof. Mark ye well her bulwarks, consider her palaces, that ye may tell it to the generation following. For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death. Praise be to the reading of the word of God. Amen.
See, there was something I forgot. I just want to mention that we have in our bulletin, if you need prayer, there's a phone number a couple of phone numbers that you can call here. And I say that because, you know, we have had some folks that have been sick in the hospital and things like that. And if somebody needs prayer, call somebody at one of those numbers so that we can all pray for them, you know, and so that the Lord hears from us all about that. So that was the only other thing that I had there. If you turn over to 692, we're going to sing When the Roll is Called Up Yonder. When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal bright and fair, when the saved of earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there. On that bright and cloudless morning when the dead in Christ shall rise and the glory of his resurrection share, when his chosen ones shall gather to their home beyond the skies, when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there. Let us labor for the Master till the dawn of setting sun. Let us talk of all his wondrous love and care. Then when all of life is over and our work on earth is done, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there. Amen. For our special music this morning, Brother Johnny, we're going to have Brother Johnny come first, and then Sister Reza is going to sing a song for us after that. So, Brother Johnny, amen.
Good morning, everyone. I would like to say something real quick before I sing this morning. Now, you know, there's new members here, and I'm having problems with the names. So you have to forgive me. I know. Pastor George, his mom Sally, and his wife Faith. Those are the most important ones. Amen. Everybody else, you guys don't have to wait because I get a little amnesia at times. Amen. But praise God. You know what? People sing for different reasons. Some sing for fame. Some sing just for show. But because of what my Lord done for me and will continue to do, I sing because I love him. Please. I've been singing about my Lord for 30 years. I sung when I was happy, and I sung when I had fear. But some folks may even question if I do it all for show. Oh, what the reason that I'm singing, I want this world to know. I sing because there is an empty grave. I sing because there's a power that saves. I sing because His grace is real to me. I sing because I'm not alone. I sing because someday I'm going home, and there I'll see throughout eternity. I sung to those walking through the fiery trial, and I watched as their saddened faces turn into happy smile. Oh, then I bowed my head and whispered, Lord, please do the same for me. You know what? I'm so glad that my Lord has given. He has given me the victory. I sing because there is an empty grave. I sing because there's a power to sing. Oh, I sing because His grace is real to me. Oh, I sing because I'm not alone. Oh, I sing because someday I'm going home. There I'll succeed throughout eternity. Now, oh, I sing because I'm not alone. Oh, I sing because someday I'm going home, and there I will see throughout eternity. Throughout eternity. Yes, I will, brother. Yes, I will. I'm going to sing for my.
By the way, my mom's name is Arlene. You got the first two, and then Sister Sally is just like my mom, my second mom, but my mom's name is Arlene. But thank you, Brother Johnny, and Sister Reza and Sister Ruthie for that. Stand with me and open the book of Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4. It's a blessing to be in the house of God. Amen.
Amen.
Genesis chapter 4. I've been doing a series of messages now on the brother. First message I preach on that series was, if you remember, a brother taken captive. And then I preach about a brother lost and found. Amen. These are a third part of the series on brother. Look at the Genesis chapter 4, verses 1. Let's look at how far God takes us here. Maybe verse 15. Verse 1 says, "And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock, and of the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother. And it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him." The title of this message is "A Brother Slain." A brother slain. Let's come to the Lord and pray. Father, I pray, Lord, that you be once again, fill up this house with your Holy Spirit, that you be ahead of the words that are about to be spoken with your Holy Spirit, speaking into the hearts of everyone that's here this morning, both the church members and the visitors that have not yet joined us. I pray, Lord God, that you be the speaker. Pray for clarity of thought and purity of heart. But I pray for boldness to speak your word. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Genesis chapter 4, the beginning of beginnings, was written by Moses. And most of you have been saved and been in church for a while. You remember the story of Adam and Eve, how they had two brothers. Right after they were kicked out of the Garden of Eden because of sin. The transition from chapter 3 to chapter 4 is a transition from the dispensation of innocence to the dispensation of conscience. If you remember, if you were here on a Sunday night when it talked about the seven dispensations, what you're looking at this morning is a transition from an era of innocence when there was no sin, in chapters 1 and 2, to the introduction of sin in chapter 3. Then we get to chapter 4, and we'll see the consequence of man's conscience. Look at verse 1 with me in a manner of exposition. The Bible says that Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. Is always a rejoicing. Every time a man is born into a family, every man's desire is to have a son. Verse 2 says, and she again bare his brother Abel. And there's the difference between the two brothers. It says, Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. But if you look at verse 3, it says, in the process of time, by the way, in understanding why the offering of Abel was accepted and the offering of Cain was not accepted, we'll find that the answer in verse 3. First and foremost, the Bible says, and in the process of time, meaning to say, God had appointed a place or appointed a time of worship. Okay? As Christians, God had appointed the first day of the week to be a time of worship. In the Old Testament, it was the Sabbath that God had set aside, set apart as a sign. And man worshiped God during the Sabbath and they rested. But for the Christian, the time that we worship God is the first day of the week, and that is Sunday. Let's go on. It says here, in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. Secondly, not only is there an appointed time of worship, there was an appointed place of worship. By implication, Cain brought, the Bible says, Cain brought the fruit of the ground. By implication, you can see how there's not only an appointed time of worship, but there was also an appointed place of worship. And then thirdly, the Bible says the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof, pertaining to the appointed means of worship. Appointed means of worship. Now, if you look at chapter 3, God had appointed a way of worship, and that is through sacrifice. Remember when Adam and Eve sinned, they had to cover themselves, and God performed the first sacrifice to cover the nakedness of Adam and Eve, if you remember, in chapter 3. So there is an appointed place, an appointed time, and an appointed means of sacrifice. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4, you'll find that the only appointed means to worship God, the only thing that was acceptable for men who was fallen to come to the holy God, was by sacrifice. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4, the Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. A man could not freely come to God. Man had to offer a blood sacrifice in order to come to God. And though I need to remind each and every one of us that it is through the blood of Jesus Christ that men have access to God. You look at verse 5, the Bible says, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. There's the answer. Why did God choose the offering of Abel but not the offering of Cain? Well, Cain had not done the he had performed in the appointed place, he had performed in the appointed time, but he failed to meet God's appointed means of worship. God's sacrifice that he required was of blood. The Bible says, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And then notice Cain's attitude. The Bible says, and Cain was very wroth and his countenance fell. Notice the attitude. Notice Cain's attitude. He was very wroth and his countenance fell. Did you know that when you are angry, you cannot deceive people? People can tell. When we are angry, when we have anger inside of our heart, you try to deceive people that you're fine, that you're doing okay, that you're not angry. But you can't hide it. You can't hide it. When we are grieving in our heart, when we are angry towards somebody, you can't hide it. When there's bitterness, a bitter person tries to hide the bitterness, but you can't hide bitterness. All you have to do is to look at the eyes of a person and you can tell that there's something going on in the heart of that person. And that's what's going on here. Cain was very wroth and his countenance fell. Cain's attitude, because God did not accept his worship, was anger. Verse 6, and the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. Then notice verse 8, not only Cain's attitude, but Cain's deceit. Verse 8, and Cain talked with Abel, his brother. And it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. So he calls Abel to come to him, and by his deceit, he kills his brother. And then look at verse 9, look at Cain's lie. So first, Cain's attitude, Cain's deceit, and verse 9, you'll see Cain's lie. Verse 9 says, and the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel, thy brother? Where's your brother? And he said, I know not. You see his lie? When he was asked upon, where is your brother? He says, I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? Tell me, is that the right attitude of a brother? You know, in the military and in paramilitary organizations, there's this culture that we don't leave a brother behind, especially the Marines. When a brother is fallen in combat, you don't leave that brother behind. We ought to learn from that as Christians. When a brother or sister in church is fallen, is out of the church, no longer in church, don't leave that brother behind. Don't act like, I don't know where he is, I don't care where he is, I'm not his keeper, I don't care about him. Notice how God required of Cain knowledge about his brother. Where's your brother at? He said. In verse 10, and he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. Notice Cain's curse. Cain's curse is coming. You see, Galatians chapter 6 says, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. There's a penalty for sin. You cannot get away from God. And look at the curse of sin. In verse 11 says, And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. The first curse of Cain that fell upon him was fruitlessness. He was fruitless. He was to be fruitless. Earth was to be fruitless. Verse 12 says, when thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. Secondly, not only was the ground became fruitless, but notice how Cain became a fugitive. He says, a fugitive and a vagabond shall thou be in the earth. And verse 13, and Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Now behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid. And I shall be a fugitive and vagabond. And it shall come to pass that everyone that findeth me shall slay me. Thirdly, the third curse that was given because of the sin of Cain was not only the fruitlessness of the ground, was not only that he was made a fugitive, but he was full of fear. He was filled with fear. Verse 15 says, and the Lord said unto him, therefore whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him. Now go to Numbers chapter 35. Numbers chapter 35. We'll get to the message. Numbers 35. Look at verse 31 and 33. Numbers 35 verses 31. The Bible says, moreover, ye shall take no satisfaction for the life of a murderer, which is guilty of death, but he shall be surely put to death. You know what that is? That's capital punishment. When a man is guilty of murder, the Bible says, not manslaughter. We've talked about that in the past. What it's talking about here, when a man is guilty of murder, the rightful punishment for a murderer is death. Okay? But in our judicial system, a murderer's life is prolonged. You can always file an appeal when you're guilty of murder. And oftentimes that appeal becomes a lifetime of appeal, to the point that that murderer will never receive the penalty for his crime. And the community pays for his welfare. Amen? But the Bible says, which is, he is guilty of death, but he shall surely be put to death. In verse 33, he gives you why that is necessary. Verse 33, the Bible says, so ye shall not pollute the land wherein ye are, for blood, it defileth the land, and the land cannot be cleansed of the blood that is shed therein, but by the blood of him that shed it. See, there is a curse when you kill a man, there is a curse that is placed on the land. I tell you, this country, America, is a cursed country because we do not punish murderers. You find people that kill innocent babies in the mother's womb, and they're not getting punished. They have a license to do so. There are gangsters that kill innocent lives. They're not getting punished. People that murder law enforcement officers, they're not getting punished. You know what that problem is? That problem becomes a problem of the land. That's why this country is cursed. It's not getting any better. Let's go to Matthew chapter 5, verse 17. Matthew chapter 5. If you ever come across people that are on the death row, they're not sorry. They're happy. Why? Because their food, their shelter, their hospitalization, everything's provided for. And they know they're never going to be condemned. They know that. But when we get to the New Testament, go to verse 17 of chapter 5. And then they argue and they say, well, that's the Old Testament, Pastor. The New Testament is not the same. But I read in my Bible in chapter 5, verse 17, the Bible says, Jesus Christ said, think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. He says, I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. You know what he's saying? I did not abolish that law. I came not to abolish that law, but to fulfill the law, he says. Verse 18 says, for verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled. Christ came not to destroy the law, but to fulfill the law. Then you look at verse 21, what he's talking about, the fulfillment. How did Jesus Christ fulfill the law? Here's the fulfillment of that law. He says in verse 21, you have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. He's referring to the Old Testament. But look at Christ's fulfillment of the law, verse 22. And this discourse continues all the way through the end of chapter 5. He says in verse 32, yes, you have heard in verse 21, verse 22, but I say unto you. Slide on to verse 27. He says it again. He says, you have heard that it was said of them by old time. Look at verse 28 says, but I say unto you. You follow the trend? Look at verse 31. It had been said, whosoever shall put away his wife. Verse 32, but I say unto you. Verse 33, he says, again, you have heard that it had been said by them of old time. But in verse 34, he says, but I say unto you. Verse 38, but ye have heard that it had been said, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. But in verse 39, he says, but I say unto you. In verse 43, he says, ye have heard that it had been said. But in verse 44, but I say unto you. So it's either that Christ came to abolish the law, to destroy the law, or to clarify and to bring in something better. And I'm looking at this text, and it seems to me like, no, he did not come to destroy the law, but he came to bring something better. Now look at the text in verse 22 of Matthew chapter 5. We'll get to the message. Just follow the train of thought with me. Verse 22 says, you have heard that it was said by them of old time that thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. Yes. And then in verse 22, here's the application. He says, but I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. Christ brings something better and clarifies it even better. He says, you guys are so quick to call upon the law against the murderer, but I'm going to bring something to you, something that you cannot go against. And it is this. He says, what about you that are angry with your brother? He says, you are equally in danger of judgment. You see that? And then he says in verse 27, those of you that are ready to convict the adulterer, what about those of you who look upon a woman and lust upon her? You see that? So God, Jesus Christ then, did not come to abolish the law, to destroy the law, but to clarify and bring in something better. Let's go to John chapter 13 now. John chapter 13. Okay? John chapter 13. Look at this. And here's the message. He says, a new commandment, not an abolishment of the old, but a new commandment. Are you there? Verse 34? John chapter 13, verse 34. The Bible says, a new commandment I give unto you. And what does he say is that new commandment? He says that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. And by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. Do you understand what Jesus Christ is saying? He's saying, those of you that are quick to convict the murderer, what about you? Have you bestowed the same love with one another? And I'm not talking about brotherly love. I'm talking about the same love, the same way that I have loved you. How about you? He says. You know, if you're not in church, have you ever been asked, how can people tell that you are a Christian? How can we tell people that we are a true Christian? If you're not in church, people don't know if you're a Christian. If you're not carrying a Bible, people don't know, may not know that you're a Christian. If you're not preaching, if you're not teaching, if you're not in the ministry, if you're not dressed right, people may not know that you are a Christian. But you know what Jesus Christ said? How do you know that you are a true Christian? Look at the text again. He says, by this. You see that in verse 35? He says, how do we know that we are Christians? How can people tell that you are a true believer? By this, he says, shall all men, not only the brothers and sisters, but even the unsaved, will know that you are a true believer if you have love one to another. Now let's go to our last text. Go to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. Are you still with me? 1 John chapter 2. Oh, you can claim you're a Christian all you want. You can claim to be a faithful Christian because you're always here on Sunday. You can claim to be a Christian because you're dressed up right and nice in the church. But how do we know you're really a Christian? The Bible says in 1 John chapter 2, look at verse 3 now. Bible says, and hereby, in other words, you know what hereby means? And because, and therefore, and because of this, he says, we do know that we know him. The testimony of a Christian is on how he loves his brother and sisters in Christ. If we keep his commandments, he says, he that saith, I know him, you can claim that you know him. Verse 5 says, but whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. You know, the love of Jesus Christ is perfected in us when we bestow the same love with one another. Now go to chapter 3. Go to chapter 3, verse 10. How do we know? How do you know that you're a true Christian? Look at verse 10 of 1 John chapter 3. The Bible says, in this the children of God are, what does that say? Manifest. Okay? The way to tell a child of God if he's truly a child of God and not the children of the devil. Look at, he describes the characteristic of the child of the devil. In verse 10, he says, neither he that loveth not his brother. See, the characteristic of a child of the devil is a person who does not love his brother. But the characteristic of a true brother is that he loves his brother. It can't be any simpler than that. And then he clarifies the message in verse 11. The message about Cain and Abel. Look at verse 11. He says, for this is the message that ye heard from... Look at your Bible. This is the message that you heard from the beginning. In other words, you know what he's saying here? He's saying that story about Cain and Abel is a story about loving your brother. Isn't that what the Bible says? It says that this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Look at verse 12. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother, and wherefore slew he him, because his own works were evil. Verse 14. We know that we have passed from death unto life, because we... I'm sorry, what does that say? Love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. In Matthew chapter 5, he says, he that hateth his brother without a cause. But in 1 John chapter 3, he says, you don't need to have a cause. If you hate a brother, a fellow believer, you're guilty of murder. Amen. You hate someone tonight, this morning? Do you hate someone? Or is there someone that you don't... People say, oh, that's such a strong word. I don't hate him. I just don't like him. I don't hate him. I just like to go the other way when he's going that way. What's the characteristic of love? What's the characteristic of love? When you love someone, you cling to that person. You care about that person. You care about the affairs. You're concerned about that person. That's the true characteristic of love. The question is, maybe you don't hate someone today, now that I've showed you that if you hate, you're a murderer. But the question to us as a church is, do we love one another? Do you love everyone in this room? Do you love your brother or sister in Christ? And not just brotherly love, but Jesus Christ said, the same love that I have bestowed upon you. The Bible says, greater love hath no man than this, than the man gave his life for his friend. We ought to love one another in this church. Church members, brothers and sisters in Christ, if there's one characteristic that I would like to see in our church, it is that this church, that everyone in this church would just learn to love one another. Would you love one another today? Every head bowed, every eye closed. As we stand, as the piano plays, let's have an altar call. Maybe you're looking for a church this morning. Maybe you have not followed scriptural baptism, but most importantly, maybe there's hatred in your heart. Maybe there's anger in your heart towards a brother or a sister. Would you come to Jesus Christ this morning? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him will not perish, but will have everlasting life. Do you hate someone this morning? Would you ask God for forgiveness? And would you tell God, Lord, help me to love the unlovable? That's what he did. He loved us. The Bible says, Romans 5:8, but God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Don't slay your brother this morning. Don't be guilty of murder. So every head is bowed, every eye is closed. Still open. The altar is still open. That last verse, hymn number.
We're gonna sing a. We'll sing the first verse of 491. Oh, so.